This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. In 2010, when Republicans got control of the state House and Senate, they radically redrew voting districts in favor of their own party, of course. And the Democrats did the same thing when they had the chance. Now there's a bipartisan effort to reform the process. The two co-sponsors join us now. Representative Paul Stamm is a Republican from Wake County. He is Speaker pro tem. And Representative Deborah Ross is a Democrat who also represents Wake County. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you on the program.
Good to be here.
So let me start with you, Representative Stamm. What does House Bill 606 propose to do? Lay it out for us.
It proposes that after the next census, the staff will collect all the data from the Bureau of the Census and propose redistricting maps. Then the Assembly will either pass it or not. The criteria will not include political considerations.
And so, Deborah Ross, this who will make up this staff?
Well, we have a nonpartisan expert staff that works at the General Assembly. So in some states, each party gets to hire their own staff. And we do not do that for the main functions of the legislature, writing bills and doing research. So we have a nonpartisan expert staff that does that. The last time we had redistricting, the nonpartisan expert staff did not do the redistricting plans. It was done by outside lawyers and outside consultants. So this would just give that responsibility to our staff, and our staff is extremely professional and very trustworthy and really knows the law.
And Representative Stamm, they'd also have a new set of guidelines that would pretty much limit the kinds of things that we see going on these days in the partisan process. Tell us about those rules how the lines would be drawn.
Well, the criteria, per se, shall not be drawn for the purpose of favoring a political party or incumbents or augmenting or diluting the voting strength of different groups. And you wouldn't find out where the member lived, before creating a district. And that they would be reasonably compact in form, and then it sets an algorithm for deciding what is compact. Having said that, most of the crazy lines that are drawn to comply with the Voting Rights Act, and we would still have to do that. So the maps will not look any prettier, but hopefully they will be more neutral.
Well, a lot of those crazy lines are drawn, though, for political reasons. The Democrats do it when they have the chance. The Republicans did now. And you sort of pull people together in one district or another and recreate districts that certainly favor some candidates. That's, I assume, why you're doing this. But let me ask you, Representative Stamm, why do it? I mean, the Republicans are in control now. They've drawn the map in their favor, as the Democrats did. I mean, why would you want to co-sponsor a bill that would relinquish some of that power, essentially?
We've been proposing this now for 24 years, and sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander. Who knows who will be in charge 8 years from now? We may or may not. We need a procedure in place that we can live with no matter who is in the majority.
Representative Ross, tell us a little bit about what this does to the system. If we don't have a nonpartisan process, what effect does gerrymandering, do you think, have on the political process?
Well, I think that the problem with gerrymandering, a lot of politicians might say, well, the problem with gerrymandering is I was cut out of my district or something happened to them. To me, I think that the problem with gerrymandering, regardless of which party does it, is that the voters are not put first. So lines are drawn for political convenience in order to keep somebody out of a district or in a district, who might be running. What we saw in this last redistricting was more precincts were split than ever before. And that's very confusing for voters when people in their neighborhood who they're used to voting with and organizing with are not going to be voting for the same candidates. And so one of the beauties of having this nonpartisan expert staff do the redistricting and try to have compact districts that take care of these communities of interest is that the voters will come first rather than the politicians. And that's the way we should be doing things for redistricting. And politicians, I think, might be more open when they think about getting reelected or not getting reelected if they don't necessarily get to pick their voters. And they might consider a broader range of issues and care more about a region rather than a kind of gerrymandered, homogeneous district.
Representative Stamm, is that why you're behind this? And are there other reasons for you as well?
I agree on the main point that voters should pick their representatives rather than vice versa. I would disagree on a couple of points. One, I don't think necessarily fewer precincts would be split because they may have to be split to make the districts more compact in form. And secondly, on the question of what we call double bunking, that's inevitable after every census that some people have to be double bunked, you know, incumbents placed in others.
Two incumbents placed in the same district. Yeah, so one of them has to go, right?
Yes. And there was quite a bit of that last time on the Republican side, on the Democrat side, both sides about in equal numbers. But under this bill, that could even be more widespread because the staff is not to consider the address of members at all. So, for example, and I will not be around in 2021 at the assembly, hopefully. if I am, please remove me from office. But I live very close to another member, and we would almost certainly be in the same district if it was a purely neutral criteria. So
the chips may fall, and we may still get funny looking districts and some of the things that we saw. But at least I guess the public would believe it was a little more fair process and perhaps a little less cynical.
I think the public would have more confidence in it if it was done according to neutral criteria. Mm-hmm. I just want to caution you that the maps may still look squiggly, and politicians will still be crying about their double bunking.
Now, look, there was a similar bill that passed the House in 2011, didn't get through the Senate. What are its prospects this year? And I'll stick with you, Representative Stamm, and then I'll ask you, Deborah Ross.
Yes, we introduced the identical bill so we could tell people it was just what we passed last year. And I would think there is a reasonable possibility the Senate will take it up. I think the hesitation last session was that we have all the litigation proceeding out of the last redistricting, and that may well be resolved before the close of the session. Mm. And
so do you think,
lay that concern to rest.
What do you think, Deborah Ross? Is it a better chance of getting through this time?
Well, I'm not really the person who can read the mind of the state Senate. I'm hopeful that it will. And there are some good advocates on both sides of the aisle on the Senate side, and hopefully they'll prevail.
What about the governor? Where is he on all this, and how important is how he feels about this in terms of pushing it through? Obviously, he can sign it or not, but do we need his support, Representative Stamm, in the Senate to get things moving there?
I've asked the governor's folks many things, haven't asked him about this. Sorry.
All right. You know, there's one other interesting question, and that is that aside from a kind of cynicism and apathy that voters might have when they see these funny lines, there's also a lot of uncompetitive races if you make it a lopsided district. And that, again, kind of promotes apathy. Although, interestingly enough, in places like California and Arizona, where similar laws have actually passed, Interestingly, we haven't seen many more, at least initially, competitive races, something we thought we would have. Are you surprised about that? Let me just start with you, Deborah Ross.
Well, I think that a lot of the reason why you don't see as many competitive races, other than some gerrymandering that goes on, has to do with the patterns of where people live. And more, we don't have neighborhoods that are as heterogeneous as they were in the past. So people choose to live with people who are like them.
Yeah, and when I say competitive, I mean uncontested. So we only have one person. Representative,
right.
Yeah.
Right, but when you have a situation where the seat is fairly safe and you have an incumbent who has been there, it's kind of hard to dislodge that person unless they've done something, you know, pretty bad.
Yeah.
I agree with Representative Ross that the individual districts will not necessarily be more competitive. There will not necessarily be more competitive districts. However, I think that the assembly as a whole will be more competitive in that during the last decade, for example, in 2004, Republicans actually had an 8-point in the House, had an 8-point percentage majority of the vote, but had a minority of seats. And in this last election, we had a large majority of seats, but our majority of seats was much greater than our majority of the vote. So I would expect that the swing will be less,
right,
you know, from the 61-seat majority under this kind of redistricting.
I want to thank you both for being on the program, Representative Paul Stamm, a Republican from Wake County, and Representative Deborah Ross, a Democrat from Wake County as well. Just ahead, you don't have to go to New Orleans to attend a jazz festival. We have one in our own backyard. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.